Welcome to Dynamo's Half Dozen, the show we will bring you each week and will never forget to talk. Everything else is on a need-to-know basis, and as of yet, you don't need to know. And now, without further ado, allow me to introduce you to my co-host, the one, the only, the Ted. How are you, Ted?
How you doing, man? I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. You like that new intro for a very new special show? This is our show. This is a...
Yeah.
It can't be too similar. You know what I mean?
You have to switch it up, I suppose.
Yeah, we're building our own network here. Our own network of shows and stuff like that. And I'm definitely on the lookout for some of the podcasts out there that I'm hearing at the moment coming out of Ireland are pretty good, whether it be wrestling, whether it be sports, whether it be entertainment, whether it be movies, music, and everything in between. Don't hear any about talc. Definitely on the lookout. So this is the first kind of step to kind of branch away from Dynamo's Dozen, but at the same time, it is Dynamo's Dozen also. But this is a brand new show concept, and it's called Dynamo's Half Dozen. Do you want to explain to the people, Ted, a little bit what we're going to be doing? We're obviously going to be shooting the shit and having some fun with this, but take it away.
Yeah, well, since it's me and you, there'll be a lot of shooting the shit. And yeah. In similar style to the main show, Dynamo's Dozen, there'll probably be a lot of going off topic, no matter what topic we decide to go with for each week.
Yeah.
But we'll probably talk football a good bit, but until the league really starts back up, it's mainly just rumors and stuff. So that's kind of boring to talk about.
Yeah, rumors. Like, we're in silly season, so I mean the whole idea, I guess, when we kind of came up with this idea, was to kind of to branch away a little bit from the main podcast, purely because, you know, there's a lot of times people ask me to talk about certain things that I don't always necessarily get the chance to talk about on the main show, purely because, you know, to be interviewing guests and whatnot. And that's kind of what the meat and drink is. Do you know what I mean? Whereas with this, we get the chance to kind of have fun with people that have some requests, and ask for my opinion on certain topics that I would not normally get to talk about, you know. For example, we have the Rugby World Cup coming up soon, I believe, or the Six Nations. And I don't know anything about rugby, but we can get some people on that do know about rugby and just talk about things like that and talk absolute shite about it and get educated, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't be overly well versed in the old rugby, but I'd watch the World Cup, which will be coming up soon, and I'd watch the Six Nations when it comes around as well. But I wouldn't watch week to week or anything.
So I guess to kind of let's kind of get the ball rolling a little bit. We're not going to talk about anything that's weeks ago. For example, the whole idea on this show will be talking about stuff that's current, that's happened within the same week or at the latest the previous week. So I'm not going to be talking. A lot of people have asked me, oh, what do I think on Jim Cornette's opinions on, the whole Battle Royal thing. And, there's been a lot of controversy about that. That's ages ago. It feels like all in, or, it feels like Double or Nothing was a lifetime ago at this stage. I've been almost on a 2-week holiday since that even happened. So that's, to me, that's gone. We had a pay-per-view the other night, actually, WWE pay-per-view. And I can see there's actually quite a lot of controversy with that. Not with the show, but with Seth Rollins kind of opening up a little bit of a can of worms on Y2J. Chris Jericho coming with a bit of a verbal.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
I thought it was interesting. Like Rollins had his little opening comment responded to by Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
Who is legitimately one of the best in the world at the moment. I know some people didn't like him kind of before he went to Japan. They thought it was just too acrobatic, I suppose. There was a lot too many flips and stuff, but he's changed up his style. There's a lot more groundwork, a lot more hard hitting now.
Yeah, he's still flippy though for me. He's still very flippy. You know.
He still has them, but that's his stick. So
yeah. I wouldn't put him as one of the best in the world personally. But
I would. I think he's very up there.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. It's an opinion game. So for me, I wouldn't put him as one of the best in the world, but I can see your point and I can see why people would, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Rollins responded with that they have Ricochet, which both very similar, had the huge match that caused major uproar online when they had it, the first one, and then it's been replicated in a good few places. OTT had them in.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Jericho just... I don't know, Jericho's comment was a bit...
It was a strange one, wasn't it? Just to kind of clarify Jericho's comments, he kind of chimed in with...
Ospreay's bigger than you.
Bigger than you. Which I don't believe is the case. I don't know. Is he? I don't know if that's true.
He might be taller, all right, and he has put on a good bit of weight since he's gone to Japan. So he's nearly considered a heavyweight in New Japan now. So I think that's over 200.
210.
210 in New Japan, is it? So yeah, I suppose he
would be a heavyweight anyway, yeah, for sure, because he's probably legitimately maybe 215, 220. So
he might be similar height and weight to Rollins. He could be a bit taller and a bit bigger.
I always had this idea that Rollins was really tall. Maybe I think
he's 6'1".
6'1", is he?
I think so. I could have that wrong. I don't really listen to their intros for their height and weight.
Yeah,
I
saw beside Will Ospreay before. He didn't seem overly tall, but you know what I mean? Again, you're not always looking for that. Like, you know what I mean? So I don't know. Maybe he is. But it was very strange. The main point is very strange. Jericho kind of coming in and kind of having a little bit of a knock on one of his former kind of comrades, I guess.
Yeah, well, I wonder, was that because you've got Rollins, who's WWE, obviously. You've got Ospreay, who's New Japan, right? So if you're looking at it from Jericho's point of view, right, well, there's the two biggest companies in the world that currently have shows on quite frequently.
Yeah.
And he's AEW, and he's got to be thinking, well, I can't let this happen and let them gain traction without us getting in there. So I'll just throw in my two cents here.
Yeah.
And that'll put him back on AEW. It's... You know, maybe that is what he's doing. Maybe he's not. I don't know. But if it is, it's a smart little ploy. Like,
well, listen, Chris Jericho doesn't do anything without reason. Do you know what I mean? So it was fun to read. It's gonna obviously get people. It's gonna get people talking. I'm kind of, you know. I like Seth Rollins, but I'm kind of, you know, I'd choose, as much as I said, I don't believe Will Ospreay is one of the best in the world, I'd choose Will Ospreay over Ricochet personally, any day of the week for me. But there you go. I mean, and I guess that's a good little segue, actually, because, you know, I don't know when we're going to get to talk about it, but stomping grounds.
Yeah, I think was it called Breaking Grounds last year?
Yeah,
they just changed it to something else.
Keeps confusing the shit out of me, man. But Stomping Grounds was on Sunday. It was a very predictable pay per view in a lot of ways, but there was one or two things that weren't predictable. Oh, the Ricochet match. I don't know. Did you predict that? I don't know.
No, I thought Joe was going to win that, because I was kind of thinking, okay, they had the whole problem with Mysterio winning one, that Joe's shoulders were so far off the mat that it was laughable that it was counted, and then two, Mysterio getting injured. So they put the title back on Joe, and you're thinking, right, now they're going to run with him a bit. But no, it's gone. First title defense straight away.
It's
And I know
crazy, yeah.
it makes Ricochet look strong, but makes Joe look weak, I kind of think. He can't defend title. And I don't know, they should be using Joe a bit better, I think. But
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, WWE is at a crossroads at this point. I mean, they've got all the money in the world. They've got that Saudi money, so I mean, they've got money in the bank. They can do whatever they want. But a lot of it is horseshit at the moment. I mean, in terms of their ratings are going down, we know this. They're obviously trying a few different things, but still, it's like they're trying things for the sake of it. The likes of Joe, obviously not being Joe, should be just built as the legitimate contender that he is, as a badass. Finn Balor, not even on the pay-per-view. The Intercontinental title seems to have been forgotten about. Baron Corbin still getting pushed to the moon. Shane McMahon still getting pushed to the moon. There's talk of Shane McMahon to be the one to beat Kofi for the world title. You've got guys like Dolph Ziggler that just cannot catch a break. I mean, it was a great finish to that match. We'll get on to that. But it just seems like the roster is almost too big. They've got too many, and they just don't know what to do. It's very,
I see.
very strange.
Yeah. The problem is that they have so many guys and girls on this roster that are legitimately able of being the number one person in their company, number two. And that's great, because it should lead to great television. Is you can't have them all winning, and you can't have them all at the top. Some of them need to drop down to the mid card. And the issue with that is then you have so many of them in the mid card as well, that the guys who should be in that mid card are then relegated even lower and just aren't getting used at all. And people, like, you hear Stone Cold sometimes says on his podcast that these guys need to, they can't just blame creative, and they need to push for getting that, that top spot and stuff. And maybe he's right. Like, I don't know. I've never been in that sort of position, but they can't all be up there. Some people have to accept that they're at a ceiling. And just, Scott Hall said it, you have to accept that you're at a ceiling and just do your best with that and make it fun and make it enjoyable. But when you've got guys who should be main eventers, they're not going to be happy not being in the main event. So they can't enjoy themselves, and therefore they can't make it enjoyable for everyone else. And it's a big problem that the WWE has, that they have such a stacked roster, and they can't possibly make it. Like, they introduced the brand split again, so that they could have two world champions, two tag team champions. But it's still, the rosters are so big, and there's people down in NXT, that could easily come up, and that have come up, and they can't get a foothold because there's so many people there already.
I think NXT is its own thing, but at the same time, it's not its own thing. It's basically the youth team, if you want to talk in football terms, of WWE. You know what I mean? And I mean, WWE should have done it a long time ago. Personally, we talked about this, and we actually were in agreement on this, that they should have maybe branched out and brought back like a WCW or an ECW kind of thing, and kind of had it on its own kind of network and have it as its own thing, so that it wasn't a case of, well, this guy's in the youth leagues and he's trying to make it to the first team. It should have been its own separate thing. Now AEW have basically done that for them. Do you know what I mean? And now NXT is such a unique thing in its own right. But it's still looked at by a lot of people, and the general consensus is that it is kind of like a feeder system. Triple H does, unreal work there. But it is a case that the roster is just way too stacked. And I mean, NXT isn't, it's not like it's got its own, proper TV deal where it's competing on anything. It's its own unique thing, but it still is a feeder system. You know what I mean?
But it not having its own TV deal, I think that might, well, first of all, we credit Triple H with doing great work down there, and not to take away from the work he's doing there, but no, it's not just him. There is other people.
Oh, of course.
There's writers and everything as well, and people could say, we'll move them up, but that's not going to fix the main roster either. The being on the WWE network allows a bit more freedom, and what people need to remember is that WWE as a global company, so Raw, SmackDown, has to feed to younger children, it has to feed to more casual fans who are just going to turn it on
for the moment.
People who are, for the moment, but for NXT, they know that the people watching NXT are people who've subscribed to their network and people who are huge wrestling fans, so that they're going to watch this. So if there's a slower build, things, it's kind of like what you were saying earlier, that you felt, that Double or Nothing was so long ago. The world is just moving so quickly. There's so much stuff happening now that whole builds are very difficult to do if people aren't just going to invest in
both for choice.
And and attention spans aren't there as much as they used to be. Like, people might not be willing to wait, 3 months to, if you remember back to Triple H versus Austin when, what was it? I can't remember which pay-per-view it was, but they had to sign a no-contact deal because in the ring.
Yeah, that's an old school thing. Yeah, no contact until the pay-per-view. Yeah.
But that pay-per-view wasn't like the next pay-per-view or anything. That was like a couple of months away.
Yeah.
And or even a couple of weeks. Can you imagine that now? Like, you can't have any interaction with each other and stuff. Now, I know they did have interactions, but you couldn't have that now. Like, people need to just see these things all the time. They can't just, Triple H was feuding with Austin. He was also feuding with The Rock, who was also feuding with Austin. So Stone Cold could just not be there 1 week.
Mix them.
And it's not that, it's not that you wouldn't miss him, but it was just that there was enough there. And that doesn't seem to be the case in WWE at the moment either. Like, you have Rollins is feuding with somebody, but he has to be there every single week and he has to have some sort of interaction with this guy. Can that not just be left to the side for 1 week? Just let him do what he's doing this week. We shouldn't be forgetting that he shouldn't need this constant reminder, but that's clearly what WWE feel, or whether they're right or wrong, that's how they feel the audience needs to be kept reminded of this over and over and over again. Like, even when they're talking about, they'll tell you the main event, and then they'll go on an ad break, and then they'll come back and they'll tell you the main event again. You shouldn't be, no one should need to be reminded of the main event every 10 minutes either,
Well, that's exactly it. And I mean, it goes back to, that was just an idea I had in my head a long time ago. WWE obviously paid major money to buy the rights to all these, really big named companies, AWA, Mid-South, WCW, ECW. It doesn't take a rocket scientist that they could have, at some point, made it its own entity, run, separately. Put a bit. So use some of these kind of stars that are on the peripheral, and
I would love that. WWE is Vince's baby, and people can give him a hard time, and I'm probably guilty of it myself, of saying he's out of touch, he's doing this and he's doing that, and he's not doing what's right for the company. But we have to remember that this is a guy who made this company what it is, made pro wrestling what it is, realistically.
Well, that's for sure.
So you know, you have to afford him a bit, just a bit of leeway, I suppose. But there does come a point where he does need to.
Instead of putting that amount of money into, say, like a football league that is never going to compete with the NFL, it's already failed.
No.
Why not?
But I agree with you. I'd love him to go and let here, Triple H, here, Stephanie, you go run WCW over there.
Yeah.
We'll brand it as WCW. It'll be on a different network. It'll have nothing to do with me. I will not get involved.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, you can pick these people that you want. You want these women, you want these men. Off you go. Start up your own show. And I'll compete with you. Because then it's just a healthy little rivalry between them. And the viewers, whether they're watching WWE or WCW or whatever he calls it, they're still viewing the same company. So the money is still coming into his pocket.
Yeah.
But I don't think he'd allow it to happen, because if he did start getting beaten, he'd just shut it down. Because he could. You know, he'd just say, right.
And that's the
shut it down.
Vince McMahon, you know, it's an ego thing. And you know, and understandably so. You know what I mean? But look, we won't spend too much time on it because it's kind of playing fantasy booker. There's real competition there now. So, I mean, you know, time will tell how it works out.
Real competition coming up, and I'm chomping at the bit to see it.
Exactly. We don't know whether it's... Look, everyone's saying, oh, it's not competition. It's not going to compete with WWE. Let's be honest. In the first few months, it is going to compete with WWE. That's the whole idea behind it. Whether it lasts, whether it has longevity, that's a different story. And whether it helps WWE up their game, hopefully. But let's...
Well, the biggest bonus of it is, one, for fans, we have something different to watch.
Exactly.
So maybe it might not be in direct competition with WWE, but it is a competition. It is going to be in some sort of competition, whether they want it to be or not, because it is an alternative product. Yeah. And I can switch over and watch that. Or I can decide, you know, I only have X amount of hours per week to watch wrestling. And I could watch Raw or I could watch AEW show. Right, I'll watch AEW this week because, you know, I'm more invested in that. Who knows? Like, maybe I won't be. Hopefully I will be. But the other big thing is it gives the wrestlers, people who work, and not just wrestlers, I suppose, like, older guys who used to wrestle, it gives them somewhere to go to be booking agents, to be managers, all these things that they might not have with WWE. So it's good for everyone. It's good for fans and it's good for wrestlers, which, you know, that's a win-win.
It's good for business. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we're not going to spend too long. Have you got anything for me? You were talking earlier about we were going to shoot the shit. Did you find anything for me? Did you bring anything?
Yeah. Well, I was going to read. It's just I was going to say to you, like, your main show tends to talk about, you know, wrestling, and
yeah,
we said we'll do some sport on this, but obviously there's not a huge amount of sport for us to be going on. So I was just going to bring up TV series are a huge thing now, whether they be on Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever they are.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was one I've been watching now, I suppose, for like a year, because I wasn't watching it at the start and I just had to catch up with it. And unlike things like Game of Thrones and stuff, where it's a continuous loop, you know, you watch one series which feeds into the next, this one you could kind of pick and choose if you didn't want to watch a series or whatnot.
Yeah.
But have you ever seen a show called Taskmaster?
No, I've never heard of it. Is it on Netflix or?
I don't know if it's on Netflix. I've just been watching it on Daily Motion, which is just similar to YouTube. I don't know. Like, that's not. It's just like YouTube. People just upload videos. So I don't even know what channel it's actually meant to be on. But they all seem to be up there, and I've been watching it on that. But the premise of the show is: do you know the comedian Greg Davis?
I do.
Yeah, right. So he is the Taskmaster, right? And he has an assistant who is Alex Horn. Do you know who Alex Horn is?
I know the name.
He's a comedian now, but he's also in a... He also has his own little band called the Alex Horn section.
Okay.
He used, I think I remember hearing that he was on Countdown, like the actual Countdown years ago, and won Countdown or something. I don't know how you win Countdown, but he did. But it's the two of them, and then they have five guests for the series. And most of the time, they're other comedians, like the likes of Josh Widdicombe was on it, Bob Mortimer. But they're just, I think it's normally over 10 episodes. They're just set tasks, and Greg Davis is the taskmaster. So they do these tasks, and they're all stupid. Like,
and for anyone who doesn't know who Greg Davis is, Greg Davis is basically the principal in, what was it called?
In the Inbetweeners, yeah. He's a big 6'7" or 6'9" monster or something.
Big guy, really, really big guy. And he's sometimes on, not Question of Sport, Mock the Week. Sometimes he's on that as well.
So. Yeah, he's on Mock the Week and stuff. Yeah, so he's a comedian. But he has all these other comedians come on. And then they set them tasks. The tasks are pre-recorded. So they have an area. It's a house. I don't, like, obviously, it's considered the Taskmaster's house, but who knows? It's just wherever they've rented or whatever, I suppose. But they just set all these insane tasks, like, and then they do the tasks, and Greg Davies judges them on how well they've done on a scale of 1 to 5 points, right? I'm telling you, man, like, I can't really do it justice describing it because I can't describe the tasks to you, but it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out. I can see some here, actually. There's some on YouTube there. I don't know if there's lots, but there's a couple there, and they look quite interesting, to be fair. So I'll definitely...
Yeah, it's up to season 8 now.
Season 8, yeah.
But as I said, like, you wouldn't have to watch every season if you didn't want to, you know?
Yeah, you can kind of pick and choose what you want to watch.
Yeah, but like, just for an example of like some of the tasks are like, you know, get this ball from here to some other location over there without touching the ball and stuff like that. But there's always little loopholes, you know, where sometimes they'll get someone else to pick it up, or in one episode, they were told they had to get a ball into a hole with the smallest amount of touches on the ball as they could. So your man just dug up what was the hole and in four different sections and then placed it around the ball without touching it. So he won because he had zero touches.
That's genius.
Yeah, like, and it's mainly just seeing what they're given by him, and they all kind of, some of them try to do it real seriously, and then other ones just kind of take shortcuts, and then he decides whether that shortcut is okay or not. But yeah, it's really good crack. Like, you should give it a watch if you get a chance.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out because I've been watching lots of different stuff. For example, actually, anybody that hasn't, anyone that knows me knows I like my kind of conspiracy stuff and whatnot, you know, just because it's interesting. But
I find them interesting.
Yeah, well, for anyone that hasn't seen this, it's actually up on Netflix now. It's about Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers. It's a documentary that was made last year. Really good guy that made the documentary. I can't think of his name right now, but Bob Lazar is basically a guy who worked in Area 51 back in the 80s. You've probably heard the story, but for anyone that hasn't, it was real controversial because he actually came out in the 1990s and basically claimed that he was working on, you know, flying saucers that were, you know, found at different locations around America. And basically, people thought this guy was just full of shit and he was trying to make money. He went into hiding. He tried to come under a different name because he wanted to hide his identity. Turns out, though, the latest Joe Rogan episode, one of the latest Joe Rogan episodes, actually has Bob Lazar and the guy who made a documentary about it. And it's really, really interesting because, you know, Joe Rogan is crazy into that kind of stuff anyway. And Joe Rogan really kind of puts him over pretty well on it too, because as much as a crackpot people thought Bob Lazar was, the guy got so many death threats, like they erased his school records. I believe that his birth cert went missing from his mother's house when he was younger as well. They literally tried to erase this guy from history. And he said like that they would have erased him from history, only that he actually came out and showed his face. But a lot of the elements and stuff that he said he worked on in Area 51 that people were like, ah, he's full of shit, is only now recently starting to come out as legitimate elements that was around back then. They've actually released it now, so it's crazy.
Is this the guy that claimed, like, by, because Area 51, he claimed by, like, oh, by 1995 we'll have these things, and by 2000 we'll have broadband, and by 2000 and this we'll have mobile phones that can connect to the internet and can do all these. Is that that guy? Is that Bob Lazar who made all these claims?
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
everyone was
him.
Like, crazy.
Element 115 or something and all. Yeah, and he was basically claiming, you know, at the time that lithium was needed, you know, was a big source of batteries and stuff like that, and lithium would be the next big thing after oil. And obviously, you know, when the American
everybody was mental.
Yeah, like, and when the American government, after the Iraq war, when they went into, you know, Afghanistan, that was, like, Afghanistan had the biggest vein of lithium pretty much anywhere on the planet at the time. And obviously, so, yeah, Bob Lazar is pretty much, now, there could be someone else that may have predicted those sort of things, but yeah, you're on the right track. He's got glasses. He actually looks like, I don't know, glasses, defining feature, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Glasses.
Yeah, like, he's a strange looking cat. He looks really like he's a ringer for fucking Stephen King, actually. He speaks really slow and really weird, but definitely, man, and guys and gals, Ted, go and check that out. It's actually on Netflix, like I said. Now it's only been,
yeah,
it's really good. An hour 36 minutes, phenomenal documentary. Really will. You know, Bob Lazar doesn't claim to have, like, seen lots of aliens and stuff like that, but he did say, like, this stuff is not from our world. Do you know what I mean? And he's not really interested in the whole ufology kind of thing. He's more, he's just a science geek. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's crazy, man, like, how they tried to basically destroy the guy. And, you know, I remember even seeing it back in the 90s saying, this guy's an absolute loony bin. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I always have that question, what if, and it turns out now the what ifs, it looks like it's pretty it's really interesting. And as I said,
yeah,
he's on Joe Rogan, so I'd recommend watching the documentary and then follow it up with the Joe Rogan interview, which is on YouTube, so it's really cool.
Yeah, I see. I suppose secrets are such a, you know, they're the biggest thing in the world right now, because
sure,
you know, especially for, like, there's no massive, well, I don't want to say there's no massive war. There is wars going on, but there's no world wars or anything going on at the moment.
Not on a commercial scale, it would be the best.
Yeah. But back then, it was all about who had the best weapons. Now it's about knowing your opposition's secrets. If you know their secrets, then that's your, you know, that's the most important thing now, because you can hurt them by releasing those secrets. So I suppose, mate, like, secrets have always been a big thing, not just in governments, in life. People have their secrets and they want to keep them that way.
Yeah, of course.
And I suppose if you're a government and you're in charge of a whole country, and, you know, I'm not going to say there is or isn't aliens in Area 51, but if there is, then, you know, of course they want to keep that secret. They don't want everyone to know these things, because if they're using that alien technology to further their own technology, they don't want everyone to know that.
Yeah, but that's what it boils down to, really, isn't it? They don't give a shit about whether people think there's little green or grey men, whatever the hell's running around. They don't want
technology and secret.
Technology.
Not letting anybody else have it.
Exactly. I mean, it's like, you know, it's the same way, you know, that cars are such big business, and, like, people always know, you know, what car comes from what country. People always say, oh, German cars are the best, or French cars aren't great, but, you know what I mean? There's certain things that certain countries always have a kind of a niche and that they're good at.
Yeah.
Japanese are really good at technology and really good at, you know, I guess, cars and stuff like that. The Americans are really good at fucking pretty much everything, including weapons. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
you know, it has always been this age-old thing of the Russians and the Americans having this kind of issue with who has the bigger. It's like a dick measuring contest, really. Essentially, who has the bigger weapons and who can fuck the other country up? You know, worse than. Yeah, it's been like that for, you know, since basically the 50s, 40s, probably, you know what I mean? So
it's been like that since, for maybe the US and the Russians, it's been like that, but it's been like that forever.
Oh yeah,
that's just different human country. Nature, you know.
Yeah.
Not even just different countries, just different tribes and stuff, like,
yeah,
that's just always been the thing for,
yeah, it's
for humans. We all just strive to be top dog, and
yeah,
realistically, will not everyone, but on a whole, people will do what it takes to get themselves where they want to be.
People are always going to be trying to put themselves over. It's just the way it works. It's the way of the world, you know. But that's really good. I recommend it for people, definitely. And I think that pretty much wraps it up for this week's episode. It's kind of keep it short and sweet. But like I mentioned, we're gonna be doing this once a week. We don't have a set day yet. We'll play it by ear. But
yeah,
this, you know, as this is being recorded now on a Tuesday, so it'll probably go live either Wednesday or Friday of this week. So by the time you all hear it, you know, this has been recorded a couple of days in advance, but we're going to try and keep to a set schedule going forward. As I say, we'll just have fun with it, and we'll talk about different stuff like we have today, stuff that we wouldn't always necessarily get to talk about on the podcast that doesn't all revolve around wrestling, you know.
But speaking of the main podcast, you've a pretty big show coming up this week as well, do you? You may as well give a little plug on that.
Yeah, LJ Cleary will be coming on the show, fresh off the back of two big shows over the weekend.
Huge week for LJ.
Yeah, so it's going to be, it's kind of the second, it's kind of like the second, I guess LJ and Scotty kind of made their debut on Dynamo's Dozen back nearly a year ago with the, you know, the wrestling for mags kind of thing. But in terms of their own actual show, the first one obviously was Scotty, and that was a huge one. And he obviously, Scotty, I guess, comes from the kind of MLW side of things and coming from the Joker Bray side of things. I mean, yeah, they all train together now, but I mean, in terms of if you were going to say base-wise, that's Scotty's kind of his upbringing. And obviously with LJ, he comes from my neck of the woods. He comes from Fight Factory Pro Wrestling. So
So
that's going to be really, really, really interesting. I mean, LJ is, I guess, out of all the new breed, he's kind of probably the longest running of the new breed that would have been out in Bray.
I don't know how long Scotty Dave's been training for, but I think LJ's been around a good couple of years now.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
He's still like 20 or something, is he?
Oh, he's only a kid, man. I don't even like talking about it because they just make me feel old, you know?
Yeah, but no, that's what I mean. Like, he's like, when you look at how many years he's been around already, how polished he is already, and he's a kid.
Yeah, yeah, the same.
The same for Scotty, and for loads of them, you know, Michael May.
Yeah,
really
crazy. It's a testament to the kind of standard that pro wrestling is. You know, I mean,
well, it's a testament to the trainers in this country.
Yeah, I mean, Irish pro wrestling has always been at an absolutely unbelievable standard. Like since day one, really. I can recall. And I mean, a lot of the guys, you know, like Phil and Paul and Fergal and Justy will all kind of back me up on this. Even back in the UK in the NWA Hammerlock days, when a lot of, you know, some of us went over to the UK and, you know, do shows and stuff like that. They always said that the standard of Irish wrestling was actually even better than a lot of the UK standard. You know what I mean? Even at that time. So, I mean, it's just they've just gotten better and better each year. So, I mean, the standard of Irish wrestling has been incredible. And again, you're right. It goes down to, to the quality of coaching that that has been implemented in Ireland since day one and has continued to progress, you know.
Yeah, it's a coach. It's a mixture of having such good coaches and then the people just have such a hunger and desire.
Exactly. That's what it comes down to.
To be that good.
Yeah.
Because no matter how good your coach is, if you're not putting the work in, you know, you're never going to be as good as you can be.
Well, that's it. You got to want to be it. You know, you got to want to, you know, shoot
for
the stars. And the boys and girls are. I mean, the standard of female wrestlers in this country is second to none.
It's shot up now recently. The number of female wrestlers.
It's the number. But
I do agree with you that I don't want to segregate them and be like, you know, male and female wrestling. But I think in this sense, it does need to be segregated because maybe 5, 6, up to 10 years ago, there wasn't really female wrestlers in this country.
No.
You know, there might have been 4.
Exactly.
Like 4 female wrestlers in the whole country. That's nothing.
If you were lucky. So I mean
that's one match now, and you could, like, they've had all female pay-per-views in OTT, 2 of them. And I think they maybe have another one coming up. Now they weren't all Irish, but you know, they were able to have tag team matches and singles matches and tournaments and stuff in these. That just shows. Sure, we had four Irish girls over at the NXT tryouts there.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, it's incredible, and obviously that will be good. That will be great to kind of chat with LJ and kind of see what, you know, obviously talk about his career up to this point and obviously going forward. So there's been some great. I mean, the Justy podcast there, part 2, was incredible. You know, great feedback on that. You know, considering the way we did it was almost like a continuation from the first podcast. You know what I mean?
It's just a bit shorter than the first one.
Yeah, just by an hour. But but it was
saved a bit of time off.
But I mean, it's that kind of thing that you could put the two of them together if you had 5 hours to spare. I don't recommend anyone do it, but if you want to, if you were to listen to the two of those back to back, it would just sound like a continuation.
It would,
you know, from where we left off. So I mean, that was really good, and as I said, that's continuing to grow. And just I guess on this show, it would be good to give people a little sneak peek of what's coming up, because I mean, we have the likes of Dan Severn in the pipeline, which I'm really looking forward to. Hopefully we can get that one across the line.
Oh, nice.
Magnum TA, which, you know, for me personally would be, you know, absolutely.
Yeah, you'd love
it. Humongous, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. And I'd really actually like to hear Magnum TA's thoughts on who I think is like a young version of him in Hangman Page. He's like a better looking, cleaner cut version of Magnum TA, so I'd love to hear his talk.
Maybe don't mention the first bit to Magnum TA. He might not like that.
Oh, I think he'd accept it.
he might, but you wouldn't want to get on his bad side.
I always get on with these Southern boys. They know. This, but there's lots coming up. I mean, it's always going to be the case that the main podcast will continue to grow. But like I said, we are gonna grow this one as well and see what we do with it. And like I mentioned, you are gonna be the co-host, so on a lot of these shows, you're gonna be taking the lead and kind of maybe asking my opinion on stuff. Do you know what I mean? On certain things that, you know, we might not, as I say, always get to talk about on the main show. You know, so it'll be really cool. And like I say, even shooting shit and talking about, you know, different movies and different shows. It's pretty much anything. And I think we'll leave this one open to the public as well in terms of what they want us to talk about. So we'll try and get a Facebook page and get some social media just for this one as well, and kind of have it as its own little separate, entity. and
yeah,
see how it goes, basically, because I think this first one went pretty well, and we look forward to seeing what's going to happen going forward. Anything else you'd like to add, Ted, before we go?
No, I think that's everything for this week, I'd say.
Yeah, that does wrap it up, and usually I'll say Dynamo over and out, but I think for this one it's going to be a little different, because it's going to be Dynamo over and out, and Ted over and out as well.
Oh, do I need to come up with something for the end of these, do I?
Come up with something now, yeah. You'll have to get your own little sign-off, actually.
Ah, Jesus, on the fly.
Yeah, you'll have to come up with your own little sign-off. You don't have to do it on the spot, but if you fancy doing it, yeah. Your moment.
Yeah, well, I'll just say bye then for now.
Bye for now. That sounds like the most awkward anchor ever. It's like, bye for now.
Oh, we'll go with an old Nelson Muntz one. Smell you later. That's a good one.
Smell you later isn't too bad, yeah. I'll be hoping for something better next week. If this is going to be an ongoing thing, how Ted's on.
Oh, God.
Then it could be treading into dangerous waters, you know what I mean? Or maybe people will be just listening to see how Ted signs out every week. Could be
a little
gimmick. And then you'll have to come up with a gimmick name as well. I mean, Ted is your gimmick name, technically.
Yeah.
But we'll have to give you like a double barrel name. Go old school wrestling with a terrible Ted. Or, you know, I don't know, something funny.
Yeah, well, we'll work it out as we go along, I'm sure.
We will. You could become Terrible Ted, actually, because, you know, you might get very opinionated or something and annoy some people. Who knows?
Well, I mean, starting off with these bloody sign-offs, they're pretty terrible, so we're on a good track record there.
Yeah. But look, no, Ted, this is good for the first one, and as I said, we'll be back next week, and we'll have a little bit more structure, obviously, next week and what we talk about. But for the first one, I'm happy with this, and like I say, Dynamo over and out, and Ted will smell you later.
Smell you later.
That's it.